ask the Lord may be pleased to help me. I'd venture to speak a little to you this evening from Psalm 130 and verse 7. Now let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Psalm 130 and the 7th verse. It's one of those words which the psalmist was inspired to write in the psalm when he was enabled to give this word of gracious encouragement to God's dear people, described in the text as Israel. And what a great mercy, dear friends, if you and I are found within that company, the Israel of God, the true Israel of God, God's chosen people, his elect nation, God's ancient people Israel were a type of God's dear people in many ways. They were a distinguished nation, they were distinct from the other nations of the world, and God dealt with them in a distinct way. And how this is so typical of the way in which the Lord is pleased to deal with those whom he makes manifest as his dear people. And it is a great mercy if you find in your heart at times a real desire, a concern, that there might be a well-grounded hope in your heart and a sweet assurance that you are numbered amongst that favoured people. Moses, long before this psalm was written, declared, didn't he, "Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord." And while Moses, of course, was referring to Israel, the nation over whom he was set as a leader, how it sets forth the happy case of God's dear people in a spiritual way, God's true Israel. There are no people like the people of God. And yet, how the people of God are often despised by the world, despised indeed by the profane world, and they are despised too, those who are true Israelites in a spiritual sense and possess the root of the matter within may be sometimes despised by those who are such people as are satisfied with just a name to live and are strangers to the exercises and the trials and the tribulations that God's true Israel are called to pass through. But our text reminds us that there is this blessed hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenty of redemption. And so the dear psalmist, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, seeks to give this word, as it were, of gracious admonition, gracious encouragement to the Israel of God. And the dear psalmist David was no stranger to this, was he? He knew what it was at times to be brought low, very low. He knew what it was to be bereft of so many things, often in a lonely place, in a difficult place, in a dangerous place. And yet his hope was in the Lord. And although sometimes, as he expresses himself in that 42nd and 43rd Psalms, being in a cast down condition, a cast down state, yet he was enabled, as it were, to commune with his soul in such a way whereby he was enabled to encourage himself in the Lord his God. And there was the language of the word, as you well know. hope they're in God. And that humble and gracious expectation for I should yet praise him. And indeed that is the issue of God's dealings with all his dear people. They will come to that experience that they shall yet praise him. Good it is when sometimes for a few moments perhaps their hearts are warmed and they feel a spirit of praise and thanksgiving to God, a sense of his mercy. But you see, there is that praise in heaven where God's dear people will all be gathered, not one be left behind, who will be tuned to that song of praise to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a mercy it is if we can enter a little into the spirit of that first hymn that was given out and the desire expressed by the hymn writer as he desired to know more of what it is to love and to praise the dear Redeemer. He was the chief among 10,000 and the altogether lovely to his needy people. Well, our text reminds us then of Israel's home. That blessed grace and experience that the Lord is pleased to work in the hearts of his dear people. When the apostle wrote to the church at Ephesus, he reminds them of their former state in their unregeneracy. And among other things, he reminds them of how they were with aliens, as it were. They were strangers. They were without God and without hope. And what a solemn description that gives of man in his fallen condition, without God and without hope. Such was the ruin of the Adam fall. But against that very dark background, what a wonderful mercy it is that there is a hope, and there is a hope that the Lord is pleased to graciously work in the hearts of his dear people, described in the Word of God as a good hope through grace. And it's well if we're enabled sometimes to examine ourselves in the light of these things and as to what our hope is, what it rests on. Because there's such a thing as a false hope. And it's to be feared there are those who profess religion and they have their false hopes, their vain hopes, that centre themselves and what they think they can do and be for the Lord, as it were. And it is centred in themselves, as it were, a self-centred hope. Something like it was with the Pharisee described by the Lord Jesus Christ as he went up to the temple to pray. Oh, it was a self-centred hope, wasn't it? He thought he could stand before a holy God and parade his religion, as it were. Well, that was a false, vain hope. But the hope the Lord is pleased to graciously implant and perform in the hearts of his dear people is indeed a true hope. It is a hope which is on a good foundation. And you'll notice that the dear psalmist here in this text, as he seeks to exhort and to encourage the people of God, he brings before us, as it were, the ground of that hope. And it is here in the mercy of God. And with respect to that great truth, that with him is plenteous redemption. Here are some things that remind us of the foundation of a good hope through grace. Not in himself, you see. Not a hope in oneself, no. Or on the ground of any good resolutions, as it were. Attempting to be and do better. No, but what the Lord is. And dear friends, it's a great mercy if our hope is there. Yes, in what the Lord is and what he has done. And further, what he's done for us. Well, there's this good hope through grace. Hymn writer speaks of it as being a possession, doesn't he? Yes, God's dear people are put in possession of it. The source of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He who is indeed the hope of Israel, and Israel's only hope. But oh, what a blessed and precious foundation there is there for a poor sinner to rest on in what the Lord Jesus Christ is. And while this word is found set in this Old Testament part of the scriptures, how it should direct us, and God grant it might direct us to the one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in all that he is, in all that he has done, and what he now does as he sits at the right hand of the throne of God as the representative of his dear people, as their great high priest above. And they have an interest in it all, of any intercessions. Here is the ground of a poor sinner's home. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Hebrews, he puts it like this, doesn't he? He says, which hope we have. You see, he realised that he possessed it. God had given it to him. His former hopes and all his former religion was killed, as it were. But God dealt with him graciously. Yes, he was quickened into life and born of the Spirit and blessed with that principle of grace within his heart, which wrought such a difference in his life. And there was this hope. And he says, which hope we have. What a possession, this good hope through grace. And he describes that hope, doesn't he? He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, to enter into that within the veil. You see, he directs to the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is indeed within the veil, he who represents his dear people in heaven. And for there to be an anchorage, as it were, in him. An anchor is a very important part for the ship, isn't it? Because it has to breast the storm. And there needs to be an anchor, and there needs to be an anchorage at times, especially so when there may be stormy seas. And then the spiritual sense, when you think of the hope as an anchor of the soul, you see that there's an anchorage. It keeps the soul steady, as it were. Even in the face of fierce temptations, fierce winds of temptation, waves of trouble, as it were, it steadies the soul. And so Paul says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Let Israel hope in the Lord. You see, the Lord himself, God has revealed in the person of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel's hope. Yes, the only hope. A hope which is on a firm foundation, which, although it be assailed, and it is assailed, and every poor sinner who through God's great mercy comes into possession of this hope will know what it is at times for that hope to be tried. And yet in the trial of it, you see, as a trial of faith, it will be made manifest that it is on a good foundation. There are much that shapes a poor sinner in his own experience, but you see, the foundation is firm. It is strong, it is immovable, it is a sure foundation. It sustains and supports the whole church of God, and therefore it sustains and supports every true child of God And poor sinners who sometimes may feel to be weak and feeble and faint-hearted, sorely tried at times. But it makes no difference to the foundation. And what a great mercy it is when at times you may have been able to realise that there is that firm footing. Yes, to know that foundation, as it were, in your heart. And this is the foundation of this home. Yes, like the wise man's house, you know, built on the rock, wasn't it? There was a firm foundation. And although it had to sustain the storm, the wind and the tempest, yet it fell not, because it was founded on a rock. Such a contrast to the foolish man's house. No doubt those houses would be difficult to distinguish in the outward appearance, but you see the difference in the foundation. And when the testing time came, that's when the difference was to be seen. The foolish man's house fell. The wise man's house stood firm. Although there was the storm that beat against it, it stood firm because it was built upon this rock. Now, such is the hope of God's dear people. It may be tried, and it will be tried, but it will be tested. But it will remain. Now, of course, there are the various experiences of hope in the soul, and we do well to consider this subject of hope really in that twofold sense. What I mean is this: our text says that Israel hope in the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the object of a sinner's hope. There rests his salvation, as it were. The Lord is his hope. And then there is the hope, as it were, in the exercise and experience of it in the soul. There's a text in Jeremiah, isn't there? Whose hope the Lord is. That's the blessed character. Whose hope the Lord is. You see, he is the object of the hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, the object of every believer's hope. And then, you see, there will be, the exercise of that hope. I mentioned just now the anchor of the soul. And the Lord's dear people are upheld and maintained in that way, along life's way. We read in the 8th chapter of Romans, don't we, where the apostle says we're saved by hope. And surely there is a meaning there, if we may understand it aright, and God grant us a right understanding of his word. It is as though that hope is that principle which enables the poor sinner to journey on in the pathway of truth and that way that leads to heaven. Sometimes hoping, as it were, against hope, but still there is a hope. Now, in the exercise of it, then, of course, there are times when hope grows very dim. It may well be you've known something of that. Well, you have a companion in the scriptures. Dear Jeremiah was a faithful prophet. He is described as a weeping prophet, and he had much to weep over. He had a very trying pathway as he sought to faithfully declare God's truth as a faithful prophet. How he was persecuted, ridiculed, and badly treated, wasn't he, by his own people. And it had an effect upon him. And it tried his hope, didn't it? And so as you turn into the Lamentations, you light on these words where he says, my hope has perished from the Lord. It shows to us how low the poor man did sink. Because the truth of the matter was this, of course, that was impossible for his hope to perish. But of course the dear man had lost the comfort of it. He was sorely tried. And he comes to that conclusion. But the God in his great mercy delivered him from it, didn't he? He didn't leave poor Jeremiah to sink in utter despair. And although the poor man was let down in the dungeon, he sunk in the mire, didn't he? But he was delivered. Yes, well, God appeared for the dear man. You read that third chapter in the Lamentations. So those few verses down in the chapter where the Lord is pleased to appear for poor Jeremiah at that time in the midst of his lamentations. And though he is left to say, my hope is perished from the Lord. You read on in those few verses and you'll find that it was as though a little light from heaven shone into his soul. And the Lord confirmed his hope. Circumstances were the same. He still had a trying path. He still had much discouragement. But a little light from heaven, God was pleased to shine into his heart. And to lift the poor man up, as it were, a little out of that low place. So that he speaks in this way. He says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. For he was helped to see things in heaven's light, as it were, trying though they were. But that he could see this good. Yes, the good of this hope. And the exercise of that hope. And we have it set before us in this little psalm, don't we? And I did intend really to try and consider it in that way. In this little psalm, you'll notice that there are these words. It sets forth something of the exercise of God's dear people, the true Israel of God, and the things that they are called to pass through, and something of the pathway that they walk in. To begin with, of course, they speak about the depths. There's a cry in the heart. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. He just mentioned Jeremiah, and he had to cry out of the depths, didn't he? And there's that sense in which God's true Israel, although we would realise that God is sovereign in all his dealings with his dear people, some are led more deeply into things than others. There's a sense in which there will be this cry to the depths of the heart, the depths of need. And as the Lord is pleased by his Spirit to convince poor sinners of their sin, the issue of this will be a cry to the Lord. And how the dear psalmist was concerned that the Lord would attend to his cry, appear for him from these low places, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. And coming along toward the word particularly, I wanted to notice there is this great statement here: if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, thou mayest be feared. The dear psalmist was no stranger to a realization of how he stood as a sinner before a holy God, and that he could not stand, as it were, justified in himself before a holy and a heart-searching God. God was to deal with sin according to the desert of it, then it was to be in wrath, and for the sinner to be banished forever from the presence of God. But you see, he says this: but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. But now here's the hope of Israel, you see. Yes, poor Israel, yes, in low places, sometimes having to cry to the depths. There may be the various depths, perhaps a time of affliction, a time of trial, a time of difficulty, a time of temptation. But oh, there is a mercy. Yes, so that there is a hope, and the hope is here, isn't it? For a poor sinner, burdened with his sin, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, what a mercy this should direct us to the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes, he who alone could forgive sins. He who did all that required to be done, that there should be this great blessing of forgiveness. And this being the ground of the poor sinner's hope, one who is convinced of his sin, that with the Lord there is forgiveness. Yes, the apostles had to preach that, didn't they? Yes, through this man, this God-man Christ Jesus, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a sweet note that is, isn't it, in the gospel for poor guilty souls. Those who feel the burden of their sin. Well, here is the grain of their hope. Satan may come with his fierce temptations and remind you of your many failings and your sins. And with his evil suggestions, there can be no hope. But that is Satan's work. And he works as an adversary. But he's a liar. And God's Israel, poor sinners though they are, guilty sinners, having nothing themselves to merit God's favour, but they are those who come to be such as participate in the favour of God, his forgiving mercy. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. But then we have this too. The dear psalmist says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Here's another aspect of truth concerning the foundation of a poor sinner's hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord. His gracious word. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the incarnate word, the glorious gospel of his grace. We read in the chapter just there, didn't we? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, says the Apostle Peter. And it becomes a word of hope to God's dear people. And be thankful, poor sinner, if there have been those seasons when, under the sound of the preached gospel, there has been that sweet hope. Yes, raised up in your heart. May have been perhaps in early times, rather like this, who can tell? But then what a mercy the Lord goes on from time to time be gracious to his dear people. And he will confirm that hope. He will strengthen that hope. Although there's so much against it, yet the Lord will preserve it, because he is their hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is Israel's hope, and there's no failing in him. He is that almighty Saviour. But then in the experience of the sinner who is blessed with this hope, often it comes like this, doesn't it? He says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. I have the picture here of one in the night season. The night seemed long. Yes, there's no sleep. And how long the night seems then. And there are those night seasons, aren't there? It may well be you've had to pass through some of these from time to time to a greater or lesser degree. You see, the Lord's dear people do not always walk in a in the light and a felt sense of it. But there are those days of darkness, days of distress, days when you cannot see your way, cannot see your signs, times when it seems as though the Lord hides his face, dark and cloudy days. Well, here is the dear soul here in this text, in this sixth verse. He said, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. You see that there is the morning to wait for, the morning of God's appearing. Yes, when the sun rises, there's that beautiful word, isn't there, in the prophet Malachi's book, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And these poor sinners who have this hope in God, although sometimes it is a dark season with them, there is a promise, you see. Yes, of the day dawn, the day star, the sun rising. Yes, for the Lord to graciously appear. Sometimes the night may seem long, but the morning cometh. Yes, the morning of God's appearing, when he's pleased to shine once more, when the darkness flees, as it were, for the time being. We see the wonder of this, don't we, in nature. When the sun rises, how the darkness disappears then altogether. And when the Lord is pleased to appear for his waiting people, and there are those times, they have to wait and wait God's time, but he waits to be gracious. For there is a morning. There are those times when the Lord graciously appears. And then, of course, hope is confirmed. Yes, hope is strengthened, as it were. But through these changing scenes, it is still, you see, the hope upon this one foundation. And so in the text there is this gracious encouragement, as it were, to those who are blessed with this hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord. That is, in spite of all that would seem to damp that hope, and that which does try that hope, let Israel hope in the Lord, even though in deep places, even though sometimes perhaps burdened with a sense of sin, let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy. And you see, there's mercy of these sinners. His mercy reaches right down to the poor sinner in his lowest state. I like that word in one of the Psalms, isn't it? Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. And you may sometimes feel to be as a poor, needy sinner in a low state. But God remembers his people. They can never sink too low to be out of his sight, as it were, or to be, as it were, lower than those everlasting arms which are underneath. Oh, there is the ground of this hope, the foundation of this hope. It is in the mercy of God. Yes, mercy through blood, mercy that flows to poor sinners in all their guiltiness and unworthiness. Paul expresses it, describes it as rich mercy. But God, he says, who is rich in mercy. Oh, that the Lord would grant us those views of his mercy in that way. Rich mercy to poor guilty sinners. And sometimes it might be surprising mercy, but it is mercy, and it flows in that one channel, yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The poor sinner, as he waits upon the Lord in all the sense of his guilt, that is his plea. Is it not your plea? Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Oh, think of that wonderful provision, the shed blood of the dear Redeemer. We would not speak lightly of these things. It was desire to feel when making mention of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we stand on holy ground, don't we? But what a blessed truth, what a blessed reality. Some of the modernists in religion in these days despise the blood. And they do not realise the wonder of the importance of it. They certainly do not feel the need of it. But to those whom the Lord is pleased to graciously teach by his Holy Spirit, they'll come to value that blood. And desire to enter a little into what we read in the chapter just now concerning redemption. And we have this redemption in the text, don't we? It really in that way I was directed to read that chapter. But how does Peter speak of it? He says, with the precious blood of Christ. Precious blood. Yes. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That precious blood was so freely shed. Yes, whereby mercy could flow to poor, guilty, ruined sinners. And how good it is when sometimes that mercy may be let into your heart, as it were enabling you perhaps to whisper a note of praise sometimes. Yes, of the sweet hope in the mercy of God. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy. There is mercy with him. Yes, his mercy is continued. It doesn't fade out. We read of it as being from generation to generation. And still that river of mercy flows. Yes, to poor sinners, it flows into their hearts. And here is the price of redemption. And so our text reminds us the ground of this hope then. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. Yes, it's rich mercy. It is plenteous redemption. It is sufficient. Yes, the price is paid. The dear Lord Jesus Christ shed his own precious blood. What a price. What a precious redemption. What a plenteous redemption. Because it takes out all stain. Yes, that virtue of that precious blood. And then you see, it is that which is purchased his dear people. They're a purchased people. The redemption is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is their hope. He is the source of their mercy. He is their redemption. And that redemption is plenteous. It is sufficient. The price was paid. Yes, and what a tremendous price it was. How freely the dear Lord Jesus Christ paid that price, as it were. This mercy might flow in all its freeness and fullness to his dear people. Well, here's the ground of this hope then. And so the text before us then, let Israel hope in the Lord. In spite of the temptations of the enemy, in spite of the seasons of darkness, as it were, in spite of the fact you feel sometimes perhaps deep the burden of your sin, let Israel hope in the Lord. Yes, in spite of the temptations of the enemy. Because you see, although he may attack, and he does, he cannot destroy this hope. He cannot destroy this redemption. It is precious. And it embraces the whole election of God. Yes, completely. What a good foundation. Well, a great mercy if sometimes the Lord is pleased to lead us into the secret of this text, as it were, and for there to be a gracious exercise of hope, a hope in God. You see, we may tend sometimes perhaps to rest somewhat on our frames and feelings, but that is not the foundation, is it? The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You'll notice the Apostle Paul writes his epistle, which he's inspired to do so, to the church at, in Judea, the Hebrews, how from time to time he directs them to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a trying time. They suffered for what they professed. And being those who professed the name of Jesus, they suffered much. They suffered much of their own countrymen in a very marked way at times. But the dear Apostle Paul, yes, to help them along, as he was graciously directed, he directs them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet to consider him. To consider him. We may tend sometimes, perhaps, too much to consider ourselves. We may perhaps too much consider present circumstances. But the word is, consider him. And you see, there's so much with regard to the foundation which the Lord Jesus Christ is. You see, he is a great Saviour. And he fully understands all about all his dear people. They come into low places. The dear Saviour went into places far lower. I speak reverently. But when you think of the depths of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he endured, yes, for his dear people, and made a way whereby mercy could flow in salvation and this precious redemption, I say, how low the dear Saviour sank. View him in the Garden of Gethsemane, bowed down, his soul sore amazed, as the burden rested upon him, the sins of the whole church, and then all that followed, the scoffings, yes, the crown of thorns, the crucifixion, a suffering Saviour. And all this he so willingly went through to pay that price, to secure the salvation of all his dear people and to purchase them with his precious blood. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, what a comprehensive word. Oh, Satan makes come sometimes and remind you of sins. But you know, this redemption, this mercy covers all. And good it is if that sweet hope is found in your heart. And from time to time, that hope to be sweetly confirmed. Although it is that lively hope, as you read in the scriptures, and it is subject to changes, as it were. But God will maintain it. He will revive it. And he will confirm it. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenty of redemption. Amen.
Let us conclude this evening by singing hymn number 95, and the tune is St Bernard, 219. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. Hymn number 95.
be pleased to mercifully pardon anything spoken amiss, and do bless thine own precious truth to our hearts. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us, and with the dear people of God everywhere, now and forever. Amen.